SCA, Triple M and the Friday Huddle team would unfortunately like to apologise for some of the content that went to air last week. The on-air team of Luke, Nathan and Damien apologise unreservedly for the lack of sizzle and entertainment on last week's edition of The Huddle.
You idiot.
All three are embarrassed by their actions and understand they've let down the audience and, quite frankly, their families with their boring, pedestrian and mundane show that they rolled out. On reflection, all three realised they should never have gone to air without the two stars of the show being Dunstall and Howard, otherwise known as the Funny Two. Said Barrett, I now realise that myself, Nathan and Luke are like Seinfeld without Jerry and Kramer. Just another unfunny football radio show like our competitors. Please forgive the three of us. This will never, ever happen again.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about
this. This is the Friday Huddle.
For Reed, want water and Macca's 50th birthday.
Triple M rocks footy.
Hello and welcome to the Friday Huddle. We're under the roof at Marvel Stadium. It's big time. It's Friday night. It is Collingwood taking on the Port Adelaide Footy Club. Big show coming.
He's a deflating.
Coming this way, the Collingwood coach Robert Harvey to join us. There's some big breaking stories. The Chief is back in the house, and it's nice to have the team here. And we've got a new addition as well, because after Darcy's effort last week, he has been punted from the Friday Huddle. Nathan Brown is here. What happened last week, mate?
Your head is so big at the moment. Remember when they did on the Thursday night footy show? Remember when Collingwood were winning, and every week they brought out Ed's head, and it just got that much bigger until it popped? Your head is not far away from popping, and somebody's going to pop it for you. You're going to cop one soon, and you're never going to know where it's coming from, because there'll be so many people going, what about that Mark Howard, where he come from? Now everybody wants to absolutely knock him into next week, Chief.
The station was disgusted. Damien, you were part of it, Chief. You and I listened to the podcast during the week, and it was a real dint on the brand, to be honest.
Well, I'm just glad you addressed the elephant in the room straight off the top, Howard, because what they served up last week was pox. Let's be brutally honest. It was disgraceful. You were like a rudderless boat. Yeah. It was just wobbling all over the place, mate. You never clue what you were doing.
Brownie, the problem we've got with this is I can't disagree. And can we blame Das, given he's not here tonight?
Well, Das hosted terribly.
He forgot he was host.
Now you're starting to get into each other.
I thought it was a bad start when we got these two on Zoom, the actual funny men, and they weren't funny to start with. And I thought we'd tape it off from there. Daisy came in and Joey came in and we started to talk analytics and it didn't quite work out. But, I mean, I thought the top five was the only good part of the program.
But Howie, we all remember you when you were the backup boundary rider, and you were just desperate to get your voice heard on radio, and now you're coming in strafing us.
Yeah, but Tom Brady was the number 74 pick as well, Damien.
He's compared himself to Tom Brady.
It was 199, by the way, Howie. But
what happened, Chief? You know, they were disappointing last week. I rang management and said, can we please not put the podcast out this week? And that was a genuine discussion amongst management, Chief.
It is. I've got to be brutally honest. I felt like I was being introduced to the most notable people at a funeral. You know, it was just like, here's a couple of people that you should know, but it's a very somber affair. So, you know, let's keep things on the straight and narrow.
Now, we don't want to throw Das under the bus.
Oh, you already have.
I just felt the hosting was a pivotal role. When you got new people, and we've had this issue before, Howard, when we had new people come in and didn't quite work out for us.
Correct.
But Das,
we apologize
last week,
as well.
There were big gaps. There were big gaps where he needed to speak, and I just think he genuinely forgot at times he was the host, whether he was talking to Snorkel out the back, but there was dead air. There was 5-6 seconds, and I'm like, Das, this isn't the weapon interview, mate. You can come back from this.
I knew we had a problem when we were analysing Collingwood's forward movement in the first 3 minutes.
Well, so this is my point. I listened to the podcast. Mike Fitzpatrick, you and Giles, they were strong on putting it to air, but I thought they shouldn't have put it to air.
I tell you what was interesting, Harry, is I ran into Joey during the week in at Fox Footy. He wouldn't make eye contact. I tried to ask him about it. He just turned and walked away, mate. He couldn't look at me. He couldn't talk about what had happened. Train wreck.
You're being disrespectful to Daisy.
Well, yeah. I was about to get to Daisy, because Daisy has filled in before when Chief and I were here. This is your first time filling in without Chief. Many differences in the team. Was it like playing at Collingwood in the Premiership year, then getting drafted to the Carlton? Or what was the comparison?
No, I couldn't agree more with everything you've said off the top, to be fair. Look, self-promotion
promotion's the best promotion. You've done that in spades. Look, Joey and I, we got called off the bench. I don't want to blame Snorkel, but he probably didn't give us a whole lot of a heads up to bring anything. And to your point, Nathan, at one point you asked me what I was doing during the week, and I wrapped it up pretty quickly, and Darce was getting spoken to in his hands, and I had finished what I needed to say, and we sort of all looked at Darce, and it just went flat. There was nothing there. So I'll,
that's another man blaming Darce.
I'll rid myself completely
and
of
they've
any
got
fault.
Him on the Olympics.
I know that's where they're at.
And you love the behind the scenes dynamics, yeah, don't you? So we're going to put Snorkel in there too.
Because our producer.
As we know, one of us usually forks out some cash to get some dinner for all of us.
Yes.
We walked in on this Friday night and he got dinner for me, Brownie and Darce. Yes. And then Joey and poor Daisy were sitting in the corner by themselves without food in front of them. So we didn't get off to a good start.
Well, I rang our producer on Monday just to see how the show went. I said, how'd it go? And he said, yeah, it wasn't our best show. We need to move on from that. So it's been addressed. Darce has been given a three-week spell, unfortunately. 3 week in the VFL he's
he
got.
He deserved it.
What I did enjoy this week, I love everything about social media, and there has been a clip that has blown up. Sent out by Rhett Bartlett. We'll send it out on Triple M Football. Chief will describe and Damien will describe what the person was wearing, but it was a doorstop outside Punt Road by a young, what I thought was John Bon Jovi, but apparently it was a young footballer by the name of Nathan Brown, being interviewed, I think, by Hutchie about his recent contract negotiation at Richmond. The audio is not the funny part, but I need you to hear it anyway.
It's a load off my mind. I mean, I'm a pretty laid-back sort of guy, but pressure sort of mounts when you don't know where you're going, but you want to go somewhere, and then people are telling you you're not going to go there, but really wrapped.
Now, it is on Triple M Footy Instagram. Now, if the kids are in the car, turn the radio down, 3, 2, 1 now. How many joints had you smoked before you did that interview outside Punt Road, Nathan?
It was the off-season, Howard. So, mate, I don't know. I can't remember wearing flares, but I did have some, remember the first run of Subi jeans? They were the flares, and I thought I was in a bit. I'm surprised that that hasn't caught on, doing interviews in rose-coloured sunglasses. I've tried to do that a couple of times. It hasn't caught on, and people are letting themselves down in footy today, Damo. They don't rock up to a football club, first day at a new job, and they don't roll out that sort of stuff.
You had sunglasses on, but you were squinting because there was no proper sun protection.
No, purely for looks, Damo. No. There was absolutely no UV protection in
those
sunglasses.
And then you had this double T-shirt operation.
Two T-shirts.
There was a T-shirt.
The one underneath had the longer sleeves.
Yeah. That was in at the time, Damo, the double T-shirt. You go back to the mid-2000s, and that's what you got.
Your calf muscles still were protruding into those flares.
I'm not sure flares does it justice. They were the old-fashioned bell bottoms.
They were.
Those things.
They were
huge.
They were last worn at Woodstock. And he was squinting because the fake tan was reflecting off his cheekbones onto the back of his mirrored sunglasses. Chief, you're a full-time, one of the great stars in the game. What did you think when you saw our man Mr. Entertainment roll onto Punt Road like that?
I did have a good laugh. When I looked at the kit, and he could have been wearing flippers and you couldn't have seen because the bell bottoms were that big around the feet. And the way he walked in like Joe Cool, didn't he? And I agree with you. It's like he's just pulled the biggest cone the world's ever seen. And then he just laid back and said, "Yeah, the rock star's here. What do you reckon, fellas? Hey, here I am." He couldn't believe it.
What'd Christina say? What'd your wife say?
I still remember when Spud got me there. He goes, "We're lacking a little bit of sizzle at the moment." He goes, the entertainment stuff you bring, I want you to bring that to Richmond. And I probably went overboard on the initial one. And I remember when I walked in that day and I saw Trent Noble was at the footy club, Darren Gasper, Ray Hall, these guys were just straight down, Chris Hyde. And they sort of looked me up and down and thought, "What have we got here?"
Well, it's interesting because I think I got a drive-by in my absence. Since last week, while we're on the subject of Howie and that abortion that was last week's show, I've put a little bit of a piece together. Oh. It's going to go something like this.
When this man gets involved in anything, he goes big.
Because I am top billing.
He has the most goals for Hawthorn.
And I don't think we've seen a better full forward play than him.
He has more Tinder matches than anyone.
Can't keep up with all the swiping, seriously.
And he sleeps longer than is probably healthy.
The thing is, there's no point getting up, so I've been getting up at lunchtime then.
So forget the top five. This is Jason Dunstall's Top 10.
Top 10.
So, had a bit of time to think about it. And as I said, Nate gave me a top five drive-by last week. So I thought, we've learned a lot from Nate over the last few years. The way he handles himself on air, the commentary that he does, the professionalism.
Yes.
So I thought, let's come up with a top 10 lessons from Nate.
Oh, please do.
We kick it off with number 10, where Nathan's never been afraid to introduce us to a new expression.
Just had a little bit each way and sock it off the ground and didn't make the distance. The umpire, I think it was going to be a goal, was going to pay the advantage, but then saw that the ball wasn't going to go through, so he would have sighed a big breath of relief.
15-4 on the sigh,
a breath of relief. Or breathe the sigh of relief, maybe.
That would be
what,
it,
what
yes.
You're looking for. At number 9, paying attention is extremely important in the art of commentary.
We're about to get the second half underway.
What do you got there, Noodles?
I'm just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
Nate! What's going on?
Who doesn't need that going into the third quarter, Chief?
Well, now, at number 8, letting the listener know what's happening is very important, but equally important is where it's happening.
It's halftime here at the, I think we're at Metric Giants Stadium, 7-3-45.
I don't even know where the game is, Brownie. What is going on?
Picked out my top 10 worst moments, have you?
At number 7, he's taught us that
seven to go.
Analogies, metaphors and similes are all tools of the gifted commentator.
You know what the funny thing is, Sheep? They've got 14 players inside their defensive 50 at the moment, and there was a hole the size of 15 goals. Niagara Falls.
I haven't heard that one.
He's laughing at his own stuff. We keep moving on. At number 6, numbers and statistics can be confusing at times, but basic mathematics should never be ignored.
You've got him coming second at the moment behind those two, or equal first.
Did you just say you've got McCluggage coming second behind those two?
Yes.
So he'd be third.
Fair point you make, Chief.
Occasionally, yeah, Nate.
Tomato, Chief.
Just has
not really.
All the time playing it. What about that?
And you know what the best thing is? All we're doing is scratching the tip of the iceberg.
We've got 5 to
We've
go.
We've got 5 more.
And they will come later in the show.
Oh, no.
We're got holding more. Them over. We've got more. Again, this is what you missed last week when Darce was in charge with these two turkeys. You're back in the hands of the strength now. Things are all right, Daisy.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
That's as good as you get.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Port Adelaide coming up versus Collingwood at Marvel Stadium. A couple of new ins for the Pies. We'll speak to the Collingwood coach, Robert Harvey, about that later on. Mark Howard, Nathan Brown, Jason Dunstall, Dale Thomas, and this man, Damian Barrett. Righto. Bit happening in the world of news, Mark.
Yeah, there is, Howie, and it's a story that's now 2.5 weeks old and in some respects still has 18 months to run, that being the coaching succession plan at Hawthorn, Alistair Clarkson and Sam Mitchell. The public narrative around it has been the reason we keep talking about it. It had another chapter today. Alistair Clarkson opened his own press conference with a 5 to 10 minute explanation of where it's at. This is probably one of the key takeouts of it. The changing narrative about the dynamic and relationship and roles to be played between himself and Sam Mitchell.
Probably the mistake that Mitch and I made in hindsight, in the haste of just trying to keep things all as normal as we possibly could, is we said, I'll look after the day-to-day, and he said, yep, I'll look after the future. And in theory at the time, it sounded pretty good. But what it created was a little silos, in a sense, that he was going to look after the future and I was going to look after the now. But there's just so much grey area between those silos.
There's a lot of grey area, and there is other aspects of that that does have the grey, and the grey will be waded through between now and end of 2022. Alistair Clarkson now simply cannot leave that club, given what he said today, Chief, on the commitment that he has made throughout his life with contracts. He brought his family situation into it. To me, it was a layer of explanation as to why he would stay. He is contracted for next year. He is on big money for next year. And as of today, the conversation around him staying in his eyes is locked in. Now, the narrative, Chief, around it, we keep using that word, and that's his word as well, took a turn on Monday night when Carolyn Wilson said that Sam Mitchell, in a previous meeting in the previous week, had asked for Alistair Clarkson not to be there. I know you're privy to this situation. I know you probably can't reveal even half of what you know, but what is it you can please provide by way of detail to this situation?
I'm actually not privy to any of the detail, truth be told. Because when I stepped away years ago, Damo, when I step away, I step away. So I'm not involved. Understand that. But people talk. And there are people associated, past players and the like. And we have conversations. And you start to find some things out. But all I would suggest is that Caro's a little off the mark. That would be the easiest way for me to put it. I'm not going to start throwing stones or making stupid statements, but I don't believe that to be the case, put it that way.
And that was the statements you made on Footy Classified, and then backed up, it must be said, and that's for Caro to do on the Wednesday when challenged by why Sam Mitchell denying what she had said on the Monday. And then you get Alistair Clarkson today. It certainly has been a rushed outcome, and that was evident in the initial release of the information, Howie. The press conference that I attended and was part of the media throng asked to attend, it wasn't explained as clearly as Alistair Clarkson explained today. So I get that. I understand that. I think what he's done today, though, will stop a lot of the commentary around what is to lie ahead.
Do you think it'll stop all of it or just a lot?
No, it won't stop all of it. No, it won't. And nor it probably should, Dave, because it still needs to be played out as to how it looks. And look, that's okay for us to say that. Jeff Kennett also has been making regular commentary around it as well. And there's between now, Howie, as in round 19, 20, 21, and the end of 2022, at my best estimation, there's about a $2 million owed to Alistair Clarkson. That's between now and close of play 2022. That's a lot of money for a man who's not the senior coach of a footy club under the new operations. And given the soft cap is back to $6.2 million per club.
So you were talking about the situation that Carolyn was believed to be the case. Obviously, that's the business she's in, the business that you're in, getting information out of people that don't necessarily want to give you information or sources, etc. Were you aware of anything like that at all, Damon?
Not the specifics. And again, I'll let Caro have her own battles. Yep. Everyone's got their own. But not the specifics of Sam Mitchell saying, I don't want you here. Now, I'm paraphrasing what she said, but that's the nub of it. Now, yes, there's confusion, and I still feel there's a relationship to be waded through. And I think Alistair Clarkson today has explained that, given it a context, that they do need to get on the same page with how the future looks. But in terms of the specifics of that's a pretty blunt and major thing to say about Sam Mitchell. I don't want Alistair Clarkson there. That's the extreme of what she said. I hadn't heard that to that point. Does he want him there? I don't know. Whether he's expressed it, I hadn't heard that.
If for anyone who saw the interview today, you'd have to take Clarko on his word. He was emotional. As you said, he went into in-depth about family, about loss in terms of death and whatnot, which is very un-Alistair Clarkson-like. Yeah. Usually those cards are kept very close to his chest. So for what it's worth, you almost have to take him at his word that he wants to be there. And if anything changes to that, it's not because of him.
It's funny how Clarko's always had to talk about contracts and convince people that he was going to see them out. Mm. And all he's ever done is see them out. Mm. And yet people still want to come up with conspiracy theories and other options. But all he does is he sees it through, and then he'll make a decision at the end of next year what he wants to do.
Yeah. The unknown is what Jeff Kennett still may do. And again, we take on board and we factor in, and we believe Jeff when he put us out his club issued members' letters that this is the arrangement, this will be the case. But he's a volatile character, Jeff. He's been volatile in even the handling of this situation. He's brought forward the timeline on it. He was publicly saying it'd be end of year. It was brought forward to 2.5 weeks ago. It's over to him again, as it always is, with anything to do with Hawthorn when he's in charge.
Mitch was pretty strong, too, coming out to say none of this is true, which I completely understand, because he was being badged as the man that was kicking out one of the greatest coaches of all time. So you can understand Nath, him coming out really strong and saying, hey, this is not me, this is not how it's taken place, and this is not what I've been doing.
And just on that too, he provided some context too that wasn't provided initially. And I understand how when you get the release of information, certain things have to be addressed before other things. But he explained, and again, this is what he said most recently, as Alistair today gave great context, that he didn't have the conversation with Hawthorn about taking over from Alistair Clarkson. It was done in a different order. It was about the Collingwood approach. What do you do? It wasn't about the Alistair Clarkson dynamic part of it. So, again, context that's come since the actual announcement, it has provided a greater detail and layer of detail.
When I heard what Caroline's story was, I thought to myself, I can see Sam Mitchell saying that. He's got the confidence and I guess the bravado to do it. But then when you hear him talk and Alistair talk today, you have to take him at their word. You have to believe them. But it's not out of the realm that I think he's confident enough to say that. But listening to him, I don't think it happened.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
always a privilege to chat to a senior coach on the game night. This man, a two-time Brownlow medalist as well, and in charge of the Collingwood Football Club. His name is, of course, Robert Harvey. He joins us on the Friday Huddle. G'day, Harves. How are you going?
G'day, Howie. Evening, boys. How are we?
Hey, great to speak with you. Excitement for the footy club because a couple of debutants tonight, one of them not even born and raised in Australia. Tell us about these lads. It's exciting for the footy club.
Yeah, well, it is, and that's our eighth and ninth debutants for the year. So we've got a good batch of young kids coming through, and we've been lucky enough to get some games into them this year. So we get two more tonight. Jack Ginnivan's a Bendigo boy. Really, he's a small forward, real natural, natural around goals. He'll get up the ground a bit tonight. Sorry about the noise. I'm just getting the ground. He's just a natural player. So we're really excited to get him in. He's worked really hard in the VFL. He's kicked 12 goals in the last three VFL games. So he's earned his place there. And obviously the other one is Anton Tohill, who's an Irish boy from Derry. He's sort of country just near Belfast up in the north there. So he hasn't, through COVID, hasn't been home for 2 years. So he's been through a hell of a lot of resilience to get to this point tonight. And it's just a great story. He's a great man. He's bold, not only on the field, but off it. He's just a really upstanding guy but much greatly respected amongst his teammates. But it's just a great story for him to get here tonight. And he hasn't been gifted this game. He's really earned it through his performance. And we look forward to getting out there tonight.
The clubs always do a great job of sending out these days, halves, the debut game or the announcement. And when you announce it to the boys and the Irish fella, you said he hasn't been home for a couple of years. I noticed he got teary. It makes a lot of sense to me now that he's come a long way to get this game of footy.
Yeah, and he's just that sort of guy. Like, he's unapologetic about anything he does in life. And he's a medical student in waiting when he goes back to Ireland. He got 99 point whatever in his in his schooling, so he's obviously really smart off the field. But he's just that sort of guy that he wears his heart in his sleeve. He's very honest. He's just a ripper individual. And he didn't just shed a tear. He sobbed uncontrollably for about 10 minutes on the field, and the players loved it. And it was just raw emotion to be seen. And he's just worked so hard to get this opportunity, and we're just wrapped for him.
And Robert, given all the stressful stuff and the bad stuff that has to be endured in footy, is granting a first game to someone, as you got the opportunity to do during the week, is that about the best that can be experienced from someone in your position?
It is when it's like it's on the back, it's really duly earned. Like, I think when you see guys like come into the team, and obviously we've got some injuries, but in the end, the two boys that come in tonight have really earned their place. And particularly Anton from Ireland, he hasn't been gifted this game. He's really earned it through his performances. And I just think that's even better. Like, when you can bring a guy in who's really, he's paved, just worked so hard to get this opportunity. And yes, it hasn't been gifted to him. And I think it is a real gift to be present in those moments. And I really, I'll look back on that as something that will stay with me forever. And I know it will for him, but it is when it's really earned, like it has been here. And I know it's easy to say that, but it really has happened, and it's a great experience.
Hey, Harves, if we can just leave results out for a moment. From the outside, it looks like when you talk about game style, when you talk about personnel, it looks like you guys are doing a lot of things right. What's your overview of how it's gone since you've taken the reins?
We've just been really patchy, Jace, I think, and I'm even, say, taking, for instance, last week's game against Carlton. I thought we moved the ball really well from the back two-thirds of the ground. I think the players are expressing themselves really well with our ball use, and I think they're enjoying that. I just felt like we're not connecting well enough inside 50. It's the last piece of the puzzle. So we've talked a lot about that, and we want to see a spike in that. We had 30 entries up to half-time last week and only scored 10 times. So, but our ability to move the ball to the entry point was really good, and it's been we like that. The disappointing part was the drop-off in that last 40 minutes of the game around the middle of the ground, and that's not us, so we'd like to rectify that for that full 120 minutes. But hopefully tonight we see a bit more system going inside 50. That's what I'd like to see.
What has the messaging shift been between yourself and Bucks halves?
You know what, Daisy, it's pretty much in language, really. I mean, everyone's different. I've obviously been there for a while anyway, but I think we're probably talking a little bit more about the offense than we have, and not, in the end, it's pretty much just different voices, a different language. obviously we've tweaked a few things. We're playing some new players in a few different positions. So it's pretty much just that tweaking stuff, really, Daisy. And in the end, the main sort of change comes with just a different voice and different language. And, you know, we haven't turned the game style upside down. We've just changed a few little things. And that's just probably not the nature of the beast in a changeover coach. So it hasn't been turned on its head, put it that way.
Halves, you go back to earlier on in the year and Isaac Quainer had the job on Toby Green, and Toby Green got him on that night. But I just think that young man has really grown since then, and he's going for a lot of marks. Not only that, but he's beating his opponents. Is he a defender, or will he slowly get up into the midfield?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nathan. I reckon Maynard's a little bit similar, to be honest. You could play either of those boys in the middle of the ground without a problem. I think Quainer is a natural defender in the fact that he's got great attributes to basically defend his guy. He comes off really well to help, plays system really well. He's got an amazing leap for his size, and his aerial overhead is above average for how he plays. So I think he's got areas that he's still working on. I know he'd like to use the ball a little bit better. I think he's improving greatly there, and he's got great speed and dash. And I think in time, he 100% could play midfield. Right now, I think he's playing in the right spot. And I just think he's becoming a very, very good player.
Just need to slip off on a tangent for a moment, Halves. For 20 years as a player, you never said boo. And now we can't shut you up. How are you going with all this talking, mate? All the, you know, everyone's always asking questions. You've got to do interviews. You've got to do this, that and the other. It's a complete turnaround for you.
Yeah, it is. But in the end, like, having said that, I've been coaching a long time too, Jay. So
yeah.
It's part of, like, you don't stay still. You obviously, you got to adjust to the role you're in. And, you know, a lot of ways you grow. Like, you get better at what you do, or you change. You work on stuff that you need to work on. And that's part of footy. You do it as a player. You do it as a coach. So it's just another string that you just try and work on in your artillery. And it's just what you have to do as a coach.
And Rob, just on that, you've obviously got more pressing concerns in an hour's time with tonight's game and the four that follow it. But how do you feel the bigger picture is going with your credentials being analysed by the coaching subcommittee for the role going forward?
I've said this a couple of times. Graham Wright's been really upfront with me, so I'm just seeing this is a 9-week window to try and just get the best out of this group. And obviously, we're playing a lot of young guys, so to actually develop them, get games into them, get them enjoying what they're doing, getting them a game style that they like to get their head around and enjoy. So yeah, I just think I'm just looking at it that way. It's a busy job, obviously, and I've got my hands full just trying to sort of do the day to day there. But I haven't thought too much about that, to be honest, Damien. And yeah, at the right time, all will probably look after itself in that respect. But I'm not sort of having any sort of firm views on that.
Sure. Have you officially pitched yet? And is that something you will expect to be given the chance to continue to do so in terms of the actual specifics of what does lie ahead?
No, I haven't. And we, to be honest, haven't had that conversation. So in time, whatever happens will happen. I'm really free with that. As I said, I just see it as that 9-week window to do the best I can with this group. And that's what I'll do.
Would you like the job, Rob?
In the end, I'm in the coaching paper, so I'd like a job. Like, in the end, I just really enjoy what I'm doing. And as I said, what will be. In the end, I'm in this caper, you know, to be a coach. So how that will be is determined in time. And all you can do is put your best foot forward, and the rest tends to look after itself.
Hey, mate, your answers have been fantastic. Best of luck going forward with your coaching journey and, more importantly, tonight with you, the Collingwood Footy Club and the debutants. Thanks for having a chat with us on the Friday Huddle, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you, boys.
Download the Listener app now to stream every game on Triple M Footy.
Can you believe it?
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Oh, yes. We are at Marvel Stadium. Port Adelaide are talking on the Pies. We're halfway through a bit of a story there, Damo.
It's an interesting story, too.
Well, everyone is doing their best. We're about to get to Chiefs' top five moments of Nath's commentary career. And a shout-out to everybody that has been thrown into these jobs, Nath. And I don't say this lightly, Leaf, the Chief, with contact tracing and knocking on your door to check everything is okay. I had 14 days in home quarantine due to the fact that the Big Penguin had a positive case at his school, but as of 2 days ago, it was downgraded. Hence, we are allowed to now leave our small cage into a larger cage. And the people that are running the websites and the phone numbers, they are doing a magnificent job and the best job they can. But we got a knock on the door from a chap from one of the government agencies at the five-day mark. And he said, right, we believe Mac Howard lives here. You need to show that he is in quarantine.
So is this a welfare check or a are-you-at-home check?
Are-you-at-home check.
Were there welfare checks as well?
No welfare check. No welfare check. The community was fantastic at that, as in the local footy club, because anyone that had been to school in Barwon Heads at the primary school was in home quarantine. The local footy club did things like last Saturday, cooked 450 hamburgers for all the kids that were in quarantine and dropped them around at the front doorstep. So really looked after by the home community. Anyway, old mate from one of the government services rolls up, and he's got a gentleman from the army beside him. And at which my nine-year-old says, Dad, is that an army man? I'm like, yes. He said, where's his gun? I said, Dad, I don't think he needs a gun.
What rank was he?
I don't know, but quite junior, I think, by the look of him. He was quite a timid-looking army man. Yes, a cadet. So, he was, as far as army men go.
Says you.
Well, yeah. Well, I wasn't timid at that stage.
Australian army.
6 days in home quarantine. So old mate says, you need to prove that Mac is here in home quarantine. So he gives him a wave from behind the glass. And then he says, okay, now you need to prove that Richard is here. And I'm like, who's Richard? And he's like, well, I've got on my Victorian government form here that Richard is also in home quarantine. And I'm like, mate, there's no Richard here. Now, you know I'm very polite and calm in these situations.
This is second family.
Yeah, well,
this is an issue.
It's a good point. So again, he says, I've got listed on my Victorian government form that Richard is also home quarantining with Mac. And if you cannot prove that Richard is here, we need to follow up the paperwork and potentially find out where Richard is. And then it's a $4,999 fine for Richard.
Richard who?
Well, I don't know. He doesn't have a surname. He just has Richard. And then the old mate from the army, who was quite timid, pipes up, well, if Richard's not here, maybe he used to live here. At which old mate shakes his head and says, oh, mate, how long have you lived here? And I said, oh, well, 13 years. And in that time, there has been no evidence of Richard. And at this stage, he said, well, I need to take this to my superior. And as I said, these people are doing everything they can.
So is the army man taking it to his superior?
We've
seen you in these situations. You do get angry.
No, I didn't. I was very calm.
And am I asking Erica any questions at this point?
Well, at this stage, the system, unfortunately, breaks down, to which my mate from the government says, oh, now I can't see the details on Richard, like his surname, for instance. So we will have to come back to you. And I said, well, Erica, myself, Mark, and Sky are here in quarantine as well. And he said, well, I don't know anything about that. And I said, so does that mean we can leave quarantine? At which point he says, no. So if you're the Victorian government and you're listening to this, there ain't no Richard at my house. There's never been a Richard at my house, and I don't think he's COVID positive.
System's working well.
Well, they're doing everything they can. Anyway, we got through five of Chiefs' top 10. Now, I think we need the stinger again because it was that good.
When this man gets involved in anything, he goes big.
Because I am top billing.
He has the most goals for Hawthorn.
And I don't think we've seen a better full forward play the game.
He has more Tinder matches than anyone.
Can't keep up with all the swiping, seriously.
And he sleeps longer than is probably healthy.
The thing is, there's no point getting up. Stop getting up at lunchtime then.
So forget the top five. This is Jason Dunstall's top 10.
Yes.
That's a new best idea.
I'm not sure we needed that stinger again, but we worked our way through 10 down to 6. We're now into the top 5. And at number 5, these are lessons we've learned, things that Brownie's taught us over the journey in commentary. When you're imparting advice to the listener,
yes,
it's reasonably important to have done your research.
What else have you got today, Brownie?
Flemington, race number, as I bring it up, race 3. Just let me check that. Best of the day comes up in race 1, number 3, Pride of Jenny in Flemington.
Scratch,
although, scratch. It's not going to be running today.
Your best of the day, you're doing it to scratchy.
This was going to be running that day, Chief.
And it was just a Saturday morning, and it was scratched on the Thursday night.
Yeah, just doing some exceptional work. At number 4, we know that dealing with football families and different generations isn't always easy.
Full just on the Triple M Harvey Norman replay screen. Tony Liberatore Sr. sitting in the stands. I had the pleasure of sitting in front of Tony at a Bulldogs Hawthorn game many years ago, and I won't be sitting in front of him again. He's a very aggressive supporter, Tony.
And how long has the operator Tony Liberatore Sr.?
Well, since he had a
son called Tom. Right. Just doesn't stack up for me, Brownie. That just doesn't stack up, Guru.
You make me laugh. You really do.
Senior and junior.
So we move up to number three. Number three in the life of Nathan Brown's commentary. Every now and then, Brownie can take a player to a new level, even if you're not quite sure who he's talking about.
Thought he might have been tunnelled there, Myocroft.
Myocroft?
Myocheck.
Myocroft. He's out of Sherlock Holmes, Howard. He's a TV character. I got him mixed up with Brady Myocheck.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, what Brownie has taught us is there are two very basic golden rules in commentary. Number two, when you're on a roll, just keep going, baby.
Triple M Red Lead Zending Stats. Ash is with us. Damien Hardwick on the Triple M Harvey on Nerd Pope. Replay screen.
What was that?
That was last week.
Oh, it was last week when you were rudderless. You didn't have your captain. What was that?
Das was giving me nothing. I'm having to read all the credits. He gave nothing last week. He checked in at the start of the program. All he thought about was Olympics, and I had to do everything.
And you gave me the credits.
The second one was the best. You got halfway through and didn't give us stuff and didn't even try and correct yourself.
Chief, can we hear that again?
Please.
I think that needs to be heard again.
Triple M Red Lead Zending Stats. Ash is with us. Damien Hardwick on the Triple M Harvey on Nerd Pope. Replay screen.
What was that? What was that?
I just couldn't quite get the Harvey Norman replay. But they're happy because they keep getting repeated nauseam over the weekend.
That's it. That's so does Red Lead.
Yeah. So that brings us to number one. And this is the golden rule of commentary. If you're going to pot people, you do it cleanly, you do it smoothly, and you do it with style.
So everybody helped us out, put this together. Out to you to the end of the art. I'm going to finish off with something. Triple M rocks footy.
It was just after he'd given you and I a drive-by, Howie, for not being there.
Tell me that wasn't last week. You trying to get into a break?
No, that was the end of the night. I was trying to thank everybody for helping us out, and then I realised that I'd stuffed it, and I just kept going with it.
So just in case,
it even better, because I knew this sort of stuff would come
up. No, you didn't. Just in case you missed it.
This is content.
This is how Triple M Footy signed off last week.
So everybody helped us out, put this together. Out to you to the end of the art. I'm going to finish off with something. Triple M rocks footy.
Favourite audio
we rock
of
footy.
All time.
That's what we do. We rock footy and we entertain people. You know how much we entertain people, Howard? Actually got a phone call from the boundary line saying we're too loud. That's how loud entertaining we're being.
I did. Chief, when we suggested at the start that the show wasn't that good last week, I think we were being kind on reflection from what I've heard tonight.
Well, the interesting thing is, Howie, when I put out the feelers for Nathan Brown moments, they came from far and wide. I was inundated with people throwing material up, and there's a lot that unfortunately was left on the cutting room floor.
So you had to chisel the 10 down. You didn't even get the Andrew Pridham question in.
No,
there's plenty of room for next week.
Triple M rocks footy.
That was class.
G'day, wherever you're listening, around Victoria, around Australia, around the world. If you're in lockdown, our thoughts are with you. Hopefully we can get things heading in the right direction very, very soon. You're listening to the Friday Huddle with Mark Howard, Damien Barrett, Nathan Brown, Jason Dunstall, Daisy Thomas. Congratulations to the Torquay Flyer. Trav Boak plays game number 300 tonight. He's been a wonderful player for that football club. Nath, you came in with our very own Damien Barrett today.
I sure did, and I came in with the Chief as well. So obviously there's not a lot of people here at Marvel Stadium, so you have to go and get yourself checked out first, working personnel register, and then you come up the lift and you obviously have to sign in and register, take the photo as well. And then we're waiting there to do that, and Chief asked the question, do we have to do this again? We've just done it downstairs, and the lovely lady helping us out said, yes, you do, and we had a bit of a laugh, and then she saw Damien.
Yeah.
And did her day change and brighten up, because she said,
I had that effect.
Here he is, the man that I always think dresses perfectly for a gentleman.
Oh.
And her whole day just brightened up at the
sight of Damien. Because I actually say hello to her every time I walk past.
Shut up, Damo. At the sight of Damien Barrett. Now, this would never, ever happen for Damo ever. to be honest, apart from his beautiful wife, obviously, on their wedding day. But she just beamed. He was just that arrogant strut that he has, Damien. And it was just, he just took, it was like it happens all the time.
It's amazing the effect you have on people at Brownie if you actually look them in the eye and say hello.
Is this a lady somewhere near the car park?
Yes.
Right, so she sees the muscle car. That's the thing. She sees the vehicle he gets out of, and it turns everybody's eye, Damo. And it's now got 3,000 kilometres on the clock.
Except that she was up on level three, Howie.
Has it done more than 60 yet or not?
No, not yet, no. And not in lockdown either.
How's homeschooling going for all of the fathers in the room that have children? We'll start with you, Noodles.
We try and knock it off by midday, Howard. Get in, get the job done early, and then we go and do footy training, netball training down at the park.
Have you got a choice, have you? You can call it quits at lunch.
At public schools you do, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, Damo. We get in, we get it done. They've got certain Google Meets they've got to do with their own class, and then we just go out and reward them. It's not easy for anybody. It's not easy for the parents. Definitely not easy for the kids being locked up at home because they want to get out. So we try and finish it by midday, and then we get out, and we probably do about an hour and a half of exercise. I think we're allowed 2 hours a day, so we cap it at about an hour and a half, and have a good time as well.
And what about you? You've got...
I've got a year 11 and a year 9. And
there they go to...
They go to St. Kevin's.
St. Kevin, yep. Very nice.
And there's a straight one and a loose one, isn't there?
There's a straight one and someone who'll cut some corners. Mm. Yeah.
The loose one.
He's not loose.
This is the younger one.
The younger one, yeah.
If he's listening.
If he's cutting corners, he's loose.
Right. He's not,
what
not
sort of corners does he cut,
no,
Damien?
He just needs to be aware of what he's certainly doing in homeschooling.
So who's he more like, you or Janine, if he's cutting corners?
Probably neither of us.
No. So he's just got this out of nowhere.
So are you hands-on?
No.
Or are they beyond your level?
No, they're doing it themselves. And the older one's dealing with it as well as I think anyone can in those circumstances. But you do get an insight, don't you, to what they're going through as well and to what everyone's going through in their own little way. But it's tough on the teachers, obviously, as well.
It's an emotional rollercoaster. Daisy, your young one?
Yeah, Tilly, she's in grade one at Elwood PS.
Right.
So I've had a couple of stints at it with her. Look, there's been a whole lot of sport, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try and convince you that I tried to... turn her into one of the greatest mathematicians of all time. That was my strong point at school.
Of course it
she
was.
Doesn't really get it. She's only in grade one, so there's plenty of time for her to figure it out, I'm hoping.
So does she have to sit on any form of Zoom?
Yeah, so
one?
She has the catch-ups with the school in the morning and then a one-on-one with the teacher. So it's a good effort for the teachers as well just to commit to that.
Yeah, my word. And I think we all realise during this situation how hard the teachers work and how tough it is.
Absolutely.
I found myself this morning doing grade four poetry with a haiku poem, Damo.
So
which
I don't
is,
even know what that is.
Well, it's now I know because I had to Google. It's a Japanese poem that has five syllables, then seven syllables, then five syllables.
Right.
Yeah, as a man who tortured a lot of teachers, I sort of almost take it back for some of my schooling, yeah.
Yeah. Now, bringing us a bit of news. Firstly, has there been any news on whether our man Tom Brown's been elevated to chief football reporter?
I'm hearing good things.
You could bring us some news on that.
Are you hearing anything, Damo, or not?
I've got sources in that space, Howie.
Well, I'm in at seven a bit, and I'm hearing a lot.
Right. Yeah. What are you hearing, Dave?
Well, just any given day there, it will be announced.
Right.
How excited was Tom when the news broke that Steve-O was going political?
Not if, but when.
Yeah, and then how unexcited was he when Steve-O started throwing a few different names in the mix, like Jay Clark? Mitch Cleary.
He did too. Yeah,
Tommy Morris,
the great Fox footy guru. So
Scotty Gallen, his name got thrown up.
Yes, it did. He's got a bit on his plate already, Scotty, with all the columns he writes. Tommy Brown now in the building, Bob Jane Teemard style. Are you going to give me a no comment on the Collingwood presidential situation and a no comment on your job?
Definitely no comment on the Collingwood presidential situation. Damo is well versed to cover that, and a no comment on that job situation at this stage. But I can deliver
before
you some
the finals,
news.
Tommy. Before the finals, will we get an announcement on you?
On me?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Is it an extra kicker if you get Chief put in front of
him? I'm not sure. I'm not a part of those types of negotiations.
Do you negotiate yourself, Tom, or do you have somebody doing that for you?
Chris Giannopoulos is my manager. He's a good man.
Right. GM. He was one of your... Who had three
sources?
Managers?
Damo. One of Damo's three managers when he put the boy on as well.
Right. If you're a normal football reporter, what would you typically get paid, Nath? And when you get elevated to Chief, what type of extra kicker do you get?
I think Chief comes with a two in front of it and a late two.
Right.
Bordering up towards the 2.5, 2.6.
Nothing like that. I'll just give you some news, though, Howie.
With the clause in that contract, when Tim Watson throws to him, does it have to be to Tom Brown, Chief?
Football reporter. Chief football reporter.
You'd want that written
absolutely
up,
sure.
It's in the contract.
Yeah, and hopefully Tim remembers that when he throws to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you got some news out here, Tommy.
I'll cover this news more extensively at halftime. But I spoke to Graham Wright pre-game. A timeline now on Collingwood's coaching search. He indicated to me for 7 News a short time ago they want to secure a coach by mid-September, confirming they've started coach talks. He ruled out Clarkson effectively. Graham Wright insisted Collingwood's football boss, the El Supremo, there's no issues between him and Clarkson if they were to work together in the future. Talks on Scott Pendlebury's new deal have started, so it looks like Pendles will definitely stay the game's record holder next year.
All right, I must admit I had my back to Marvel Stadium. Damien, you made a point around the players around the middle. Chief, and we're ready to get this one underway. What a new day, mate.
Oh, really good headline today too, Hilly.
Yes, we'll get to it next week.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.